All right, we're back. I'm wearing the same outfit that I wear in basically every episode because this is the only outfit that I own, basically. I'm starting to realize, I'm starting to sense a pattern developing with this show, and that is the fact of I don't think I've filmed a single episode of this podcast where I've like felt good. Like almost every episode I've recorded, I've had like like 1.5 foot to 2 foot in length python of a shit sitting in my large intestine. Like Nosferatu in his coffin, dude. Like one of those ready to dip down into a toilet bowl. This fucking foot long fucking shit fucking just sitting in my large intestine like a kid on one of those big slides with the trap door where you fought, just waiting for the trap door to fall out, just arms across the chest, dude. Yeah, it's a lunker. I've gotten a lot of people hitting my line saying they want to be in No Country for Serb Girls. They're dying to be in it. But they're like 40-year-old women who acquired their guns through pregnancy. Those guns are more good for personal use. They're not really good for the message of the film. The message of the film, it's got to be a woman who's got a naturally big gun. It can't be. And I know childbirth is very natural. I'm not contesting that, but I want all the women to have guns. To have acquired their guns just, like, through, that's how they were built. That's how God made them. So I need them to be, like, in the range of, like, 18 to, like, 24. Because after you star in the movie, I want to date you, and I want to love you forever. And so that's the sort of the nature of the situation is, if you're like a 40-year-old woman with a huge, delicious gun, that's awesome, and that's swell, and that's beautiful. But you're more of a side piece sort of thing. You're not really good for, a movie. The movie is about accepting natural beauty, and so I need natural, born this way, gunt is what I need. Just delicious fupa, okay? Sometimes I eat too much food, and when I eat too much food, it goes all to my pussy and my belly. And it goes nowhere else. She needs to be built like, how do I say this? She needs to be skinny all over, but she needs to have a big gunt, a big delicious gunt. And the only way, for that to really work is if you are not, middle-aged. Because once you start become middle-aged, you start filling out everywhere else. I need natural gunt, where a girl, she eats too much food, she goes to sort of a buffet sort of situation, and she fills up, and she's got a huge belly, and it also kind of descends down even lower into the pussy area is what's ideal. So that I just thought I would touch on that while we are still in pre-production, while we're still casting. The GoFundMe is up. It's officially up. Just type in GoFundMe, No Country for Serb Girls, and go donate, because $4 billion is not going to, it's certainly not coming out of my pocket. As much as I love guns, I don't think I'll make $4 billion in my lifetime. So, we really need you guys to donate on this, because I know everybody who loves Gunt is extremely closeted, because this is this isn't really a talked about thing. And I think we need to have a letter in the queer community almost, because it's such an underrepresented thing. You should be able to, we should have people at the Pride Parade, and they're walking around, and they've got a weird colored flag, and some of the day ones of the gay community might look at the flag and go, what is that? I've never seen that before. Are you like a gay guy? Are you a lady? Are you taking tranny pills? And I'll be there. I'll have my flag, and I'll go, no, I love Gunt. And you know what the guy would do? He would embrace me, and he would say, welcome to the family, the gay guy family. Because it's really gays who are running the show with the LGBTQ community. It's really the gays. So, King Gay, who's King Gay? It would be RuPaul. RuPaul would give me a hug. And when we said, he would say, welcome to the family. And he would, when he pulled away, we would stick together. He was covered in jizz. I think that guy's probably always covered in jizz. Very strange to, I don't know if this is true. Maybe I shouldn't say it. I'll say it, fuck it. I think I heard something about him hating trans people. And maybe this is wrong. I don't know. Maybe this is completely wrong, and maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. But I thought that I'd heard something about him hating trans people. Which, if that's true, if I'm not totally making that up and having a total schizo moment, that's very strange, because he does drag, and the interesting thing about drag is it's like blackface for trannies. It's tranny blackface. You're going, aha, you're putting on a minstrel show for what tranny people are doing. A guy goes, hey, I want to be a lady, and you're going, oh, it's just like this then. And you put on a dress, and you put on a big pair of fake tits, and you go, ha ha ha, this is what you want to do. So it's kind of weird. You're putting on a minstrel show for, a damn tranny. And I don't know. That's very strange to me. Very strange. I don't know if he is actually transphobic, but I could have sworn that I heard something about that. I don't know. If that's true, that's very strange, and he needs to rethink his priorities. If it's not true and I'm having a schizo moment, then that's good. Finally getting a sip of that coffee. I've been waiting for it to cool down. I don't like to like sip on a coffee. I just like to drink it, so I always get like the hottest coffee imaginable, and then I wait for it to be not that warm, not even really that warm anymore. And then I'm chugging it. Then I'm chugging it down like RuPaul with damn jizz. If they made jizz flavored ice cream, and I'm drinking coffee like he would eat that ice cream. The jizz ice cream. And you know what RuPaul would say if jizz ice cream existed? He would go, "Three scoops, please." That's what he would say. And me, I'd be right behind him. I'd be going, "Three scoops of gruel, please. The gruel flavored ice cream." You know? So I can't really rib him too much. I'd be right there behind him. I'm getting, and then also one scoop on top of gruel, on top of the three scoops of gruel, can I also get one scoop of gerbil poop ice cream? It's delicious. I'm sort of like a Nathan Fielder type figure in my local community. I'm trying to look at the camera more because every time I do one of these podcasts, I notice that I'm always looking out this window, which feels very unnatural now that I'm doing it. So I'm trying to, but it's very like strange to be just like looking at myself and go, "Hey, I'm doing a podcast now, and I'm talking about about RuPaul eating jizz ice cream." And I feel like a news reporter or something. Feels too formal. So I'm just trying to, the whole thing is with podcasting is you've got to be, like video podcasting, you need to be in the shot. Like you can't be like, I couldn't be like laying down completely cozy. I mean, I guess I could, but then it kind of erases the point of video podcasting. If I'm in less than one sixth of the frame, if I'm in less than that, it almost eliminates it entirely. But you're tracking me. You're tracking every, you know, your eyes are following the screen. It's sort of the, you're going, it's the rule of thirds, Aaron. I know I'm in film school. And I watched Citizen Kane and I lied to everyone. And I said that it's my favorite movie when I didn't really give a shit. I thought that it was cool that, what was the name? Snowbird? I thought it was cool that Snowbird was a sled at the end of the movie. Rosebud. I thought it was cool that Rosebud was a sled at the end of the movie, but who gives a shit about watching a movie about guys make newspapers? But I'm going to tell everyone that that's my favorite movie. And I'm also going to lie and say that I love David Lynch. When I think he's... more like David Lunch, because all of his movies are out to damn lunch, is what I say. But I lie and I tell everyone I love his movies when I don't. Don't really understand them, and then when I finally make a movie, it's gonna be like an actual mess. That's sort of what I do as a student of film. I lie to other people about what kind of movies I like, and then when I go make a movie, I make a piece of shit that isn't even watchable. That's what I do. Me, I'm sort of this film student type of character where I say The Matrix is a good movie when everyone knows it's one of the worst pieces of shit that to ever be made. I'm sort of a Dune type of guy. I like the movie Dune. I watched Dune. When Dune came out in the theater, I watched it 2,000 times because I love that movie. That movie's a damn treasure. I went to the theater 2,000 times and I bought popcorn 2,000 times. I'm an 800-pound man now because I love Dune so much. Everyone's saying this Dune Part 2 is so amazing. Is it as okay, but is it as amazing as the first one? You watch it, it's like the most boring piece of shit ever. It's so good. Oh, really? Is it as amazing and mind-blowing as the first one? It's just a bunch of shots of a desert. It's an enormous spectacle of a film. It's one of those films that's sort of a spectacle. It sort of changes your whole perception of what visuals can truly be. It's 3 hours of a shot of desert. Cool, amazing movie. Me, I'm sort of this baby where if you just show me a picture for 3 hours, I'll be entertained. I don't expect you to utilize all of the years and years and years of innovation, not in motion picture and art and all that. I don't want you to use any sort of innovation. I don't want you to use any sort of. I don't want you to show that any sort of progress has been made in films. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to think about all of the novels that have been written, all of the great writing out there, all the great, all like other alternatives of things that you could watch, and you know, the idea that you might have to compete with those other things that are, you know, really amazing and stellar. I don't want you to really think about like storytelling or like, you know, really changing the plot up ever, or like having characters that affect the story and move the story. What I want is to watch 3 hours of a picture of a desert. And the only thing that separates it from being a picture and being a movie is that you can see little clouds of dust from the wind. Getting like kind of stirred up, flying around. Ooh, what is this? What is this? This is some genius artwork. Everybody, it's always funny because when you listen to like people talk about the Dune books, because they're like, you can read like the first two or the first three, and then all the other stuff you don't really have to read. It's like, how about you read none of it? It's like literally. Literally the most like non-interesting like fiction that you can read. I don't understand that when you do a book that you're gonna call a sci-fi, and then you wind up just having a bunch of people yap for a bunch of time. Like a book or a movie or anything. It's like if you're gonna do sci-fi, it should be. Oh my god! If you're gonna do sci-fi, it should be. Like a completely alien world. Like you should be, it should be all these sorts of revelations to what a sci-fi thing could be. It shouldn't just be guys hanging out. This is, okay, so this is sort of a sci-fi movie. Oh, what's it about? It's about a bunch of guys like hanging out, and like there's politics, and like, why didn't you just do this on Earth? Why did you need to make this so a lot of it is just sort of like people talking and like politics and a guy going, oh, my money is not, I don't have enough money. And the other guy saying, I have lots of money. And it's two political leaders it's sort of this case of political exchanges, and nothing really alien or strange really comes about. It's just sort of guys yapping. And they more or less could have done it on Earth, but oh, we got giant worms. I don't know. That's fucking stupid. Sci-fi is so Sci-fi is so hard to do. You really just have to... You do sci-fi, I think you just have to make everything, like, the strangest thing anyone's ever seen. Every angle of that thing just needs to be the most, like, what the fuck am I looking at? Is my opinion. If the idea of doing something that could be done on Earth just as easily, that's so, like... And then calling it sci-fi? I don't know. Maybe there are cool sci-fi elements in Dune. I never got to any of them. I got bored because they were yapping like people. I got bored because they were standing around and then explaining to each other about like being a guy. Like, this is how you be a man. I was like, I'm out of here. This is your version of sci-fi. This is your take on sci-fi. I don't know. I'm talking out of my ass. I know Dune is the most amazing thing ever, and it's full of politics, and it's awesome, and it's one of the most perfect things you could see, you could ever lay your eyes on. I think it's a bunch of garbage. The books, the movies. I haven't seen David Lynch's Dune. Maybe he had a good take on it. I did see a clip from that movie where he was spitting on a woman, so maybe I'll give it a shot. Maybe there's something there. But, I don't know. I think, I don't know. Most stuff is shit. Like, most stuff is noise. And that's, like, one of the really, like, tough things about navigating the art world is when you really, like, start to, like, take a look at stuff, you really realize how much stuff is, like, noise. It's really brutal. I'm really trying to just cut out as much noise as possible in my life. And trying to... Because with this podcast, whether you really think it or believe it or whatever, like, this is... A lot of it's philosophy. A lot of it's... There's philosophies behind all this stuff that I'm saying. Whether I even realize it or not. This whole thing has been, like, a philosophical thing. And it's like, for the longest time, I was so concerned with drowning out any sort of thought that I had, and any sort of, anytime I was anxious, I wouldn't think about it. I'd just put some music on. Don't think about it. Don't think about your thoughts. Don't think about your feelings. Drown it out with some media or something. Which is fine and dandy if you're just, like, a regular dude. But, like, the idea of having this podcast is, like... This is maybe too meta. Fuck it. The whole idea of this podcast is the belief that I have that my brain is worth listening to. But... The problem with that is if I'm not willing to listen to my brain and I'm going, movies, music, books, you know, even like a book can be an intellectual thing, but the way I was reading them, it was just like, drown out any thoughts, drown out any, put a book in your face. Even you could be reading a good book, like you could be reading like Moby Dick or something, and it could be like it could genuinely be like brain rot if you're not if you're using it to drown out your thought, you know. It needs to be, media needs to be something that's that sharpens the tool, not dulls it or makes you ignore the tool completely. Just for the longest time, I was using it almost like a drug, just like shoving, read Moby Dick, it's smart, read it. It's like, no, like, you need to use it as a, you need to use media as a means of stimulating thought, not collapsing it or shutting it out. But yeah, for the longest time, it was just like, read something quick, just, you know, put music on. And I'm really, 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 really making like a conscious effort to not drown out the thoughts, you know, really think about if I want to be on my phone before I pull it out, not just go, you know, what's going on here? You're looking at Instagram. I'm just looking at, you know, pregnant women. Just going, duh. It's stupid. Like, it's stupid. Like, and there's a time and a place to be jacking off to pregnant women. But, if you have like a moment where you could be thinking, a beautiful thought, it's, you know, it's important not to waste that. I don't know. Maybe this is too pretentious and meta and, strange, and maybe I'm not the guy to be saying all this. Especially with it being a podcast, like saying all this on the podcast is very strange, because podcast is the number one form of retard distraction. Like, you're turning this on and you're going, I gotta listen to just anything. So you listen to me like talk about poop so that you don't have to like think about like all the pain and confusion in your head. And then you turn this podcast off, you stop listening to this podcast entirely, and then you start realizing, oh, maybe the thoughts are more manageable than I originally thought. You know, maybe the anxiety that I'm feeling isn't a problem with me. Maybe it's, you know, or some unfixable, unmanageable problem. And, oh, I was born with it. And, oh, I'm traumatized and I have anxiety because, you know, maybe a lot of the anxiety is just that, like, you go on your phone and nobody's texting you. And, you know, you're constantly waiting for good or bad, just some sort of engagement, some sort of anything to pop up in your phone so you feel like real. So you feel like you're affecting people's worlds when in all reality you're at like a, you work at like a retail store and like nobody in your life really like knows your name or like cares about it. But you start putting the phone away and you start interacting with people. And, you know, maybe your coworkers aren't such intolerable aliens, and maybe you guys have something in common. Maybe the pain is a little more manageable than you thought. Maybe you're a lot more likable than you originally thought, because you're not going, why isn't that girl texting me? Why isn't my group saying all the things that I want them to say? Because I want to laugh, and I want some of the pain to go away for a second. It's like, maybe if you just stop trying to drown it out all the time, maybe you'll find it isn't so unmanageable. Maybe you'll find that the world likes you a lot more than you think, that your retail job is a little more manageable and doable than you think, you know, because you're not shoving your face in your phone every 5 seconds. Hiding in the janitor's closet so you can take a peek at your phone, see what's cooking on Instagram. It's delicious, pregnant women. And listen, there's a time and a place, you know. I'm Mr. Podcast myself. You know, listening to podcasts every chance I get. But really, like, being conscious. I know this isn't, like, a new, crazy, innovative thing. This has been... people have been trying to get other people off of phones since phones were invented. So this isn't really, like, a new, innovative thing. I'm just discovering it for myself, because for the longest time I thought, my anxiety can only be cured with this phone. And in all actuality, I don't want to say it's causing it either, but maybe it's amplifying it in weird ways that I can't articulate right now. But maybe it's amplifying it, and maybe I'm gonna be all right, and maybe people don't hate me. Maybe the customers aren't so bad. Maybe I just needed to talk to them. I don't know. And maybe I'll completely turn around and go, I was full of shit. I was a retard. I love my phone. But right now, this feels like amazing. Like, not listening to music every 5 seconds. Not going, okay, what kind of song can I turn on to pretend that my life is going awesome? Like, it's okay to just have, like, a neutral life, you know? I think that's what the phone, I don't want to be anti-phone here, but I think that's what a phone really pushes you into believing that life is full of extremes. When you're not on your phone, you kind of, I think are able to understand that everything is a little more neutral than you realize. Like nothing maybe I can't fucking speak, dude. God damn it. Maybe things aren't as good as they could be, but maybe things aren't as bad as they could be. Maybe bad is made to seem a whole lot worse than it is. Because you're on your phone I'm not being perceived right now. No, but maybe not being perceived is a gift, and maybe it's not some sort of curse. Maybe not being perceived at every moment is because that's what you're doing when you're on your phone, is you're being perceived. When you grab your phone and you turn it on, you know, everything you do is an attempt to be perceived, but maybe you just need to be more introspective. But then also maybe the goods aren't maybe as good, but maybe that's fine because a lot of the good stuff is a lot harder to attain. Maybe the good stuff is hard to attain, but maybe it's also maybe not that good. Maybe it's just kind of neutral. Maybe it's just all right. Maybe everything's just kind of all right. And maybe everything being just kind of all right is like a good thing, you know? But, yeah, this whole podcast is kind of a philosophy thing. So if I'm not willing to, you know, not be on my phone at every second, you know, like a, I don't know. To think of myself as a philosopher, I think, is useful because it makes me not drown it all out. You know, when you're actually like looking up and seeing the world, it's a lot easier to talk about it and understand it. But these phones, they're so, I know I sound like an old head here, but these phones are such an alien thing, and they're always evolving. You know, they're these sort of alien pieces of technology, and we're never done understanding them. And maybe that's a pretty huge source of our anxiety, is that we're constantly being thrown information. Maybe we're constantly, you know, on the explore page, and you've never seen it all. You haven't seen all of the thrills and all the things that are going to numb the problems. But maybe that's okay. Maybe you've seen all that you need to see. Maybe I don't need to ever read another book again. Maybe that wouldn't be the death of me. Maybe I could still write a book and never read another book again. Maybe I've got everything that I need. Maybe I never need to, you know, see another movie again. Maybe I never need to hear another song again. Because inspiring is, like, when you read something or see something that's really inspiring, it changes the way you think of that thing, but most shit does not do that. The last few, I need some water here. Just a second. Just a second. Give me a second, guys. I'm yapping. Maybe I've seen all I need to see. I'm starting to come around to the idea that to be a great artist, you could see one or two really amazing movies, and that would be in your like whole life, and that would be more useful to you than seeing like every mediocre movie on earth. You know? To be fully inspired once or twice is maybe that's more powerful than being not that inspired really ever.